Lord, we thank you for your word. Amen. Thank you that your word is rich in content. Amen. Oh, so deep in meaning. Amen. Oh, so experiential, Lord. Amen. We thank you for your holy word. Amen. Oh, you speak to us through your word, Lord. Amen. Oh, your word is life and peace to us. Amen. Oh, light and truth to us. Amen. Oh, speak to the church this morning.
Lord, thank you for meeting with us and that we could be here to meet with you. Lord, bless your word this morning. We confess we live by every word out of your mouth. Anoint your word. And this portion on your table, we pray you would impress us, refresh us. Oh, how precious your table is. Lord, we just look to you. Oh, we're one spirit with you. Pray you would feed every one of us today. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we come to this portion in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 22, which begins some fellowship on the Lord's table. And this is in a larger section where Paul was dealing with the problem of improper eating. And he brings us to a very precious reality of the proper eating. How we need to feast on the Lord at His table. We brothers are very burdened for this matter. We haven't had a chance to fellowship with the church in recent years about the table. So we hope in the next few weeks we can have much more fellowship and a heightened and a refreshed appreciation of the Lord's table. And not just the Lord's table meeting. And I'll get to this a little bit later. But of course, it does involve very much the Lord's table meeting. But the Lord's table is much richer and deeper than that. And I hope that that could come out a little bit this morning and through the ensuing weeks. I'd like to start with this. You know, Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, was dealing with a lot of problems. And because his vision was clear that only Christ can solve the problems in the church, he was always centered on God's economy, which is the dispensing of the riches of the triune God into all the believers. He was burdened about this. He always focused on this. He wasn't focused on the problems. He did answer the problems, but he answered the problems with Christ and the cross of Christ. He answered the problems with the dispensing of the riches of the triune God into all the believers who were there in Corinth, and by having this book into all the believers throughout the centuries. We can enjoy such a rich Christ because of the dispensing of our brother Paul. And this portion has a real contrast, but it brings out this point very clearly that we don't need to pay attention to the negative things, but we need to pay attention to this matter of the fellowship of the blood of Christ and the fellowship of the body of Christ. So this is the first point I want to talk about, this matter of fellowship. In verse 16 and 17, Paul writes, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? Seeing that there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." He repeats this sentiment or this thought in chapter 11, and the Lord Jesus speaks this when he establishes his table in Matthew chapter 26. Maybe we can go to those verses in Matthew 26 and read them together. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup and gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" The Lord established his table on the last night before he went to the cross. And he has encouraged us to partake of this table until he comes. And by the Lord's mercy, we are practicing this. We are having the Lord's table meeting every week. And I just want to testify that for I don't know, I guess about 37 years now, I've been able to partake of the Lord's table every week. And it's such a blessing to be here enjoying this feast and this fellowship of the blood of Christ and the fellowship of the body of Christ. So I'd like to first talk about this word fellowship. Fellowship is a common word among us. We use it very often. Oh, brother, can I have some fellowship with you? And oh, I was over at the saint's house and we had some fellowship. And but we may have a lot of different thoughts about what that means. One thought that I have had in the past, and many of the young people have, is that it's just two people talking, and you're talking about spiritual things. You're talking about the Lord. And it very well could be real fellowship. But another kind of fellowship is that, you know, you're trying to decide about something, so you ask some, you know, saints about it, and then afterward you say, oh yeah, I had fellowship with so-and-so about this matter. That may be fellowship, but it may be just advice. It may just be talking about whether you should go to this school or that school, or whether you should buy this car or that car, and it just may be some good advice. Fellowship is a very deep word in the Greek language. And we have a couple of very good footnotes on this word. One of them is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:9, and I think we have that verse. Let's read the verse first, brothers. 1 Corinthians 1:9 we had this week in our reading. Let's read 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2 and verse 9 to the church of God. Yeah, verse 2 and then verse 9. Let's read those together. To the church of God, which is in Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, the called saints, with all those who call on the name of our Lord in every place, who is theirs and ours. God is faithful, through whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a very precious verse. God is faithful. Faithful to do what? To call us into this fellowship. The fellowship of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And there's a good footnote on this verse in the Recovery Version. And we're not going to read it together. It's a little long. But I'm going to read a little bit and share a little bit with you how much I have enjoyed from this footnote over the years. 1 Corinthians 1:9. To partake of the fellowship of the union with God's Son, Jesus Christ, and of the participation in Him. God has called us into such a fellowship that we may enjoy Christ as our God-given portion. This word, like the word in verse 2, concerning Christ being theirs and ours, stresses again the crucial fact that Christ is the unique center of the believers for the solving of their problems among them, especially the problem of division. This word means to partake of something. It's a joint participation. We have another good footnote in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, which we're not going to read this morning. But it talks about joining together and in this common interest and participating in the fellowship of the Son of God. To have a joint participation. It's likened here to an eating, right? We have the cup of blessing, which we drink, and we have the bread, which we break and partake of. And the Lord Jesus told us that we need to eat Him, and we need to partake of Him, to participate in Him. And this is the real meaning of fellowship. Now, you may have a need to make a decision, and we all have had this kind of situation. We're trying to make a decision, so we want to have some fellowship. If we come to the saints, and together we participate in this precious Christ, we get to our spirit, pray about this matter, consider this matter. We may have some feeling one way or another. We may not have a feeling. Sometimes I have gone to some brothers and some sisters and asked for some fellowship, and I don't get any advice about how to make this decision or that decision, but they bring me to the Lord. This is real fellowship. To be brought together, to participate, to experience, and to enjoy Christ Himself. And that is what Paul was endeavoring to do throughout all these problems in the church in Corinth. He was presenting to them a rich Christ. A Christ in so many items. And this footnote mentions a lot of these items. He was presenting this Christ to them and encouraging them to enter into this fellowship, to enjoy this Christ, to participate in this Christ. And when we enjoy Him, just like enjoying any... Okay, now I'm going to use the illustration of a physical feast. You know, when we have a love feast here, either for gospel meeting or for some saints, many dishes are brought by many saints. And we come together and we participate in this food together. We enjoy these dishes. We enjoy many different dishes. I know sometimes when I am at the love feast, you know, and you have a plate of food, I might have like 5 or 6 different dishes on there. There's probably 20 or 30 on the table. You can't put them all on your plate. I don't think it will fit, you know. But sometimes when I'm eating this way, you know, one sister might come over and say, "Oh, did you try my such and such dish?" And I miss that one. "Oh, no, I forgot. Oh, let me bring you some." And they bring you another portion. And we enjoy that together. We partake of that. We participate. We know we don't use this word very much about eating, but we participate in that food and it gets into us and eventually we digest it and that food becomes our very being, becomes the cells in our body. This is sovereign of the Lord. This is God's creation, the way He's created us. And spiritually, it's just the same. When we partake of this Christ, we eat of Him, we drink of Him, we enjoy Him. We enjoy that food at the love feast. And we enjoy our Lord Jesus. When we enjoy Him, then He gets into us. This is God's economy. This is His dispensing. He gets into us and He saturates us and eventually He becomes our very being. We are being conformed to the image of the Son of God. This is real fellowship. And this is the fellowship at the table. You know, we have the table on the first day of the week. It's the first meeting of our week, right? The Lord's table. And we participate in this precious Christ. We have the bread. We eat of the bread. We have the cup of blessing. And we fellowship. And we drink the cup of blessing. And by partaking and enjoying this Christ at the Lord's table, we are being fed. We are being supplied. A lot of God's operation is going on within us. And this will produce something. And we'll get to that a little bit later. This will cause us and enable us. First of all, it supplies us to live the Christian life. I don't know if this is just a rhetorical question, but anyway, is it easy to live the Christian life? It's not so easy. But Christ can live the Christian life. And the more we partake of Him, the more we enjoy this fellowship of His bread and of the cup, of all that He is to us, then we are enabled and we are supplied to live Christ in our daily living. This is a precious thing. And when we come to the table after enjoying Him during the week, then we have many praises and many experiences to thank the Lord for and to praise the Lord for. And the more we bring those praises and that thanksgiving to the table, the higher the level of life is in the Lord's table meeting, and the more we're supplied to go on week by week. This is a precious, precious thing. The Lord has called us into this fellowship. Let me just read a few of these items. It's something. This book unveils to us that this book of 1 Corinthians, that the very Christ into whom we all have been called is all inclusive. He is the portion given to us by God. He is God's power and God's wisdom as righteousness, sanctification, and redemption to us. He is the Lord of glory for our glorification. He is the depths, the deep things of God. He is the unique foundation of God's building. He is our Passover. Praise the Lord. We enjoy the Passover lamb as we participate in our Christ. The unleavened bread, the spiritual food, the spiritual drink, and the spiritual rock. He is the head and the body. This morning at the table, I really enjoyed. He is the head of the body. And He is leading us in this time, in this new year, in this new year of 2016. What an assurance that our Lord is the head and He is leading the church. Amen. Praise Him for this. We participate in Him for this, right? He is the first fruits, the second man, the last Adam, and as such He became the life-giving Spirit. What? So that we may receive Him into us as our everything. This all-inclusive one, with the riches of at least 20 items, God has given to us as our portion for our enjoyment. This is a good description of what this word fellowship means. We are enjoying Christ as our portion. God has called us into the enjoyment of Christ as our portion. And this is what Paul is talking about with the Corinthians and contrasting it to this problem they were having of the improper eating and eating of things that are sacrificed to idols. On the positive side, when we partake of this Christ, when we enjoy this Christ, and we feed on this Christ, He constitutes us, and we're one with Him, and we express Him on the earth today. And what Paul was contrasting in this chapter is there is also another kind of table. There is the Lord's table, but there is also the demon's table. Right? And here he says, well, in verse 18, he uses the example of the children of Israel. And verse 18 says, look at Israel according to the flesh. Are not those who eat the sacrifices those who have fellowship with the altar? That's on the positive side. Those who are eating the sacrifices in the temple and in the tabernacle, Israel, they're fellowshippers with the altar. What then am I saying? That what is sacrificed to an idol is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No. But that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become those who have fellowship with demons. This is a strong contrast. And I don't know if all of us are clear about this. I think it's not so easy to understand. Because in chapter 8, when he starts this section on the improper eating, he talks about an idol is nothing, eating the sacrifices are nothing, we have knowledge is nothing. But when he gets here, it sounds like it is something. Well, I was helped by the portion in the life study to make this distinction. There is a distinction between idols and idolatry. And what he's talking about here is this matter of idolatry. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians, yes, chapter 10, verse 7. I think we have that verse too. Let's read that together. Neither become idolaters, as some of them did, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Here we have a definition of idolatry. Different from idols. Idols are nothing. Different from the things sacrificed to idols. That's not the point Paul's making here. He's talking about idolatry. And these were idolaters. Now, yes, there was an idol there. That golden calf was there. But the definition, according to 1 Corinthians 1:7, is the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Now, this seems very common. Everyone sits down to eat and drink, and people go out to play and do things. But this was this definition here. And I was struck by this. What are we involved with? What are we partaking of every day? What are we enjoying in our daily life? Are they the things of the Lord? or are they the things of the world? You know, Satan is a subtle serpent. And he doesn't just show up with horns and a, you know, big tail and, you know, a red thing, you know, and just like, and we'd all would say, ah, no, no. He hides himself. He hides himself in a lot of things. Even things in the world, entertainment, and we even call them idols, sports idols. But if that is what we're partaking of all the time, and we're eating and drinking of whatever it is, sports or entertainment or sinful things, many things are not just of the world. Some things in the world are not sinful. It's not sinful to play baseball or to watch baseball. But if it becomes something that we love and we partake of and we're eating of it all the time, we may be idolaters. And there's a great warning here. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the demon's table. Behind those idols, behind that thing that seems so maybe innocuous, it seems, it's just fun. Behind those things, there are demons there. And if you are fellowshipping with those things, if you are eating those things, I hope you understand my language. If you're enjoying those things, then what? Then you are partaking of that table. You're being constituted with, this is strong. This is what Paul is saying. You're being constituted with the demons. Think about that. When I was a young Christian, I thought I could live with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. I thought I could do it. But I found out, it didn't take too long, I can't do it. Either you're in the world or you're enjoying the Lord. And this is not just a positional thing. All of us are in the Lord. And Christ is in us, and we are in Christ, positionally. And we cannot lose the life of God. We cannot lose our salvation. We are in Him eternally. We are eternally saved. But what we're talking about is our participation, our fellowship every day. What are we enjoying every day? We're talking about our daily life. Our daily life matters. For God to have an expression, it's in our daily life. It's not just in the church meeting. It is in the church meeting, but not only in the church meeting. And in fact, if we don't have the enjoyment of the Lord in our daily life, then maybe our church meeting is more of a performance than a real expression of the way we live. That's dangerous. We're not here for a performance. We want to have the enjoyment of the blood of Christ, the fellowship of the blood of Christ, the fellowship of the body of Christ every day. We want to enjoy the Lord every day. Then we have no problem with the demons' tables. Nothing tempts us, right? We have the strength to overcome the temptation of the enemy. And we even pray, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How? By enjoying and participating in this marvelous Christ. Now, I just want to end with this point, which Brother Lee brings out in one of the life studies. You know, the goal, Paul was quite wise in writing this book. The first part of this chapter talks about the children of Israel as a type of us, right? And about how they all ate the same spiritual drink. They all crossed, they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they all ate the same spiritual food. They ate manna. All of them ate the manna. They all drank from the spiritual rock which followed them. And that rock was Christ. They all drank from that spiritual rock, but God was not pleased with them. The goal of bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt and bringing them through the wilderness was to enter into the good land. And Paul was reminding them, the Corinthians, of this. God promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that he would take them out of Chaldea. He would take them out of the world and bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey. This land to the Jews means everything. And this land to Jehovah in the Old Testament meant everything. Because it was in the land, it was in the good land, in that nation of Israel, in the good land that they would build the temple and they would establish the nation of Israel. God's kingdom would be established there. And the temple would be established there. But it was not to be established in the wilderness. Meaning that the manna wasn't the supply to build the temple. And that the water wasn't the supply for the kingdom. They needed to enter, that cleft rock wasn't the supply. That was to get them into the good land. And when they got into the good land, what happened to the manna? It stopped. And there was no cleft rock. But the good land was filled with the riches. It was a land full of milk and honey. It was such a marvelous land. And the children of Israel needed now, once they entered in, to labor on that land and to produce the wheat and the barley and to produce the grapes and the pomegranates and the olive oil and to mine in the hills the iron and the brass, make the brass and get the gold. They had to get the materials for the building of the temple from laboring on the good land. And so, Paul had this thought in view, and he uses Israel as the example. Many of them didn't make it in. Only two of them in the first part of this chapter, which we had the week prior. But, which is a warning to us, we should not think just because we've been baptized, we enjoy the manna. No, we have to get into the good land. We have to enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ in the good land. So he likens this table of the Lord to the good land. We have this hymn, 396, right? Which says, it's higher ground. Lord, lift me up and make me stand by faith on Canaan's what? Tableland. I enjoy that this week. Of course, that does refer to a plateau. That land has a plateau there. But I think it's very precious that the hymn has this word, tableland. Brothers and sisters, our Christian life needs to be in the good land of Canaan. In the tableland of Canaan, enjoying all the riches of Christ. All these 20 items in that footnote. Day by day to enjoy Christ as the riches, as the unsearchable riches for us to be supplied with, for us to be constituted with, so that what? We can build the house and establish the kingdom and defeat God's enemy today. That's Paul's thought. That's the goal. And that's the goal of the Lord's table. The Lord's table is not just the meeting. I hope you understand this. The Lord's table should be our daily life. We should be feasting on Him day by day. That's why we have our morning revival. We have our morning watch sheet. So that day by day we can start by enjoying Christ. Maybe this morning we need to enjoy Christ as the wheat. Or we need to enjoy Christ as the oil, as the sweet spirit, the olive oil for our day. Or the barley, which signifies resurrection. It's the first crop of grain to come up during the year, signifying resurrection. We can enjoy Christ in so many aspects and partake of Him and participate in Him. And when we come together, then we can participate together to have rich fellowship of the blood of Christ and of the body of Christ. And then, just like the children of Israel were able to fulfill God's purpose in bringing them into the good land by building the temple, establishing the kingdom of God, establishing the kingdom of Israel at that time, we today can be those building the church. Amen? Amen or amen? Amen. We can be to those today enjoying Christ for the building of the church and for the establishing of the kingdom on the earth. God's desire is not just to wait for the millennial kingdom. He needs the kingdom on the earth today. He needs an expression on the earth today. He needs the church to establish and to exercise His dominion over the enemy today. You know, last night we had quite a number of gospel meetings in all the boroughs. I think all the boroughs. Well, maybe not Staten Island, but anyway. We had them in all the districts. And I've been getting reports throughout the morning. Many got saved this weekend. Praise the Lord. No one gets saved without binding the enemy. No one gets saved without shutting the strong man up and binding him, and so that the captives can be released to enter into the kingdom of God. We need to exercise this week by week, day by day, to bind the enemy, that the saints can grow in life, can mature in life, and the church can be built up, and we can go on together. Praise the Lord. So for this, we're very burdened, not just for our, well, maybe I should put it this way. I'm really burdened for the Lord's table meeting. You know, later we'll get into this, and I don't know whether I'll be able to share on this, some other brothers maybe, but we need to prepare ourselves for this meeting. We need to spend time before the Lord and confess our sins and find out if there's anything in the way. And you know, during the week, we should consider how much the Lord has been to us, how He has supplied us, so that when we come, right, we have this hymn that says, "Our mouth shut up defeats us and wins the devil's smile." We don't need to come and be quiet. We don't come to be silent. We come here to praise the Lord. And you know, you don't have to enumerate how the Lord was to you this week. The Lord was rich to you in this way. The Lord was rich to me in another way. The Lord was rich to our brethren in a third way. And we all may just say, "Praise the Lord" at the table. But the Lord knows what that means because you said it and you experienced Him in that way. And the enemy knows what that means because he's watching as well. We don't have to enumerate all the things, but we do have to praise the Lord. And I'm burdened, brothers and sisters. I mean, Ed, correct me if this is too much. I think we sing too many hymns. Sorry to say this. I think we need more praises. More thanksgiving. So brothers, I know many of you are burdened to call the hymns. I think that's wonderful. I don't want to quench you in any way. But I would ask you, be exercised. After we sing a hymn, if the Lord is with us, if we're, you know, if the Spirit is there in the hymn, let the saints praise for a while before we call the next one. Can't we do that? Amen. We need more praises. We need more prayers. You know, if we have, why? Because we have experienced Christ. And we need more experience. I'm not saying we have enough. We need more, but we have some. You know, and all of us have experiences of Christ. We all have something to thank the Lord for, to praise the Lord for. Even we may be going through the most difficult experience or time. We've lost a loved one, or you know, our health is going down, or you know, there's so many. We're not exempt from the trials and the sufferings of human life. But in the midst of that, we still have the riches of Christ. We still have the living water, the life-giving Spirit. We have so much to experience during the week, and we can praise the Lord. We're praising Him not for our environment. We're praising Him for who He is. We're not praising Him because we got a new car. Okay, thank the Lord you got a new car. But tomorrow is not new anymore. It's used, so forget about it. But praise the Lord that we're here to drive the car. We are alive, you know? We have a lot to praise the Lord for. And so, I just hope that we would have more praises at the Lord's table and give each other the opportunity to praise more. So that, you know, if we need to sing the hymns. They help us with the praises. We all love the hymns. But let us praise the Lord more and more. And let Him get the praises He deserves and that He desires. And I'm glad I didn't take too long. I want to give you much more time because I know last week you didn't have a lot of time to fellowship. You can fellowship anything from the last 2 weeks. Feel free, or whatever you've enjoyed this week. Brother Ed has a few announcements, and then we'll sing a hymn.